Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note.
It's playoff time, and the road to Vegas goes through San Francisco and Baltimore. BetOnline is your number one source for your playoff football odds, stats, trends, and lines, with everything from point spreads to hundreds of player performance props. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm here with former UCLA linebacker Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
It's good. I mean, our first guest of 2024, you know, starts off with a bang. One of the guys that, I mean, I had the pleasure of playing with on my way out and got to see him, you know, grow and shine and do many things and really play almost everything on the defense. So now we have none other than Carl Jones, man. What's up?
Man, how y'all doing? Nah, it was a pleasure for sure, Josh. That shit was fun.
What was it like? Fun. 2 years, I think, you guys? Or was it one?
Nah, it was just one.
Yeah, it was one.
Yeah, it was one. It was him, Chris, Lil Kenny.
Yep.
All the old guys.
Naming the whole gang.
Hey. We were old at the time, but now it's you. You are considered old.
Yeah.
It's crazy how fast it happens because I remember when you were just being recruited and coming around, and the next thing you know, you were on the field, and look at you now.
Yeah. I
mean, your time at UCLA is come to a close, man.
Yeah, it's so quick, bro. That's just crazy.
And now you're working out. You declared for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
What is that feeling like, and what are you doing to prepare?
So right now I'm actually in Costa Mesa right now at Marcus Epps, Kareem Bird's place at EBS.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been training out here since like January 2nd, so I've been out here for like the past three, almost 4 weeks. Shoot. Yeah. That's why I was kind of a little late. I was finishing the workout just now. But yeah, no, it's definitely different for us. It's like a lot more professional, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like really on your time. Like it ain't on strength coach's time for real. Like depending on how your body is, you wake up when you wake up and then you go train. But it's like, it's a bigger why now because you playing with your future now. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
this is your time to be selfish. I mean, it's all about you. Like you said, it's not really – the why is you. The why is not, you know, with the team and, all you know, what Coach Kelly and what the defense needs you to do. It's, you know, this is your time to really focus and put everything into you because you only have a certain window. I mean, that's – you know, you only have one thing that Coach Az, one thing that I always take away from Coach Az that he used to say is you only have like one opportunity, you know, to make that, you know, first way in. You only get to enter the league one time. And that's, you know, your opportunity right now. So, I mean, my advice to you on that is, man, just, focus on you. Let things, put certain things on the back burner because this is, I mean, your time, you know, to do everything that you want to do, you need to do.
Yeah. Nah, I agree with that. Nah. Coach Az used to throw some wisdom out there sitting in his seat during the defensive meetings. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's funny because, again, we never got to talk to Az, so I feel like I missed out on a lot of good stuff. But
for sure.
Let's talk about some of your defensive coordinators. And first of all, just your journey, because I was doing a list before we got started here. You had – I guess Malloy is not technically going to be your defensive coordinator. So I guess you had three defensive coordinators.
Yeah.
I know like Alex Johnson and all them, they had four. So you had three. What was that like kind of every other year during this last three years, actually, it was someone different leading the way. And how did you guys manage to kind of stick together as a defense throughout all that?
You know, with Az, it was, like, already, like, an older group. So, like, they were really, like, helpful in learning the playbooks. Like, you know, learning the playbooks, learning the plays, and making sure whoever was on the field knew what they was doing. So, like, I could attest to, you know, Woods and Chris, for real, and Lil Kenny, my first year playing. it was an exotic defense. I ain't gonna cap. Like, that mess was crazy. Like, I remember I was watching over some plays. I remember Oso Digizu was standing up playing middle linebacker, and Chris was like at a safety spot. Like, it was spinners. Like, it was crazy. But, you know, throughout the years, just learning different concepts. So then switching to, you know, Coach McGovern. You know, Coach McGovern, his concept was a lot different than Az's. You know, his was a lot of base. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But even before that, you know, Coach Az switched from that 3-4 into 4-3 his last year going out. And then, you know, when McGovern came in, it was 4-3 and it was a lot of base. But then we played a lot of nickel towards the end of it when we got, you know, an exotic nickel, which was Q Knight at the time, you know. Yep. And then just, you know, using – it was like a lot of – I'd say it was like a lot of guys that really wanted to play, so we was putting them in the best position possible to, you know, make plays. And that was kind of like how the philosophy of the defense was. So if we had a playmaker, which was the nickel at the time, the McGovern year and the last – the COVID year with Coach Az, one of the main guys was the striker spot. You know, they would send a striker, drop him. You know what I'm saying? So it was like a lot of – you know, a lot of defensive towards, you know, him. You know what I'm saying? But
I wish I could have been in that. I wish they had that position my last year.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because I remember you was dropping out. They had to make sure you go drop out and then or go rush. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it was like vice versa. And it was just a lot crazy. And then, you know, going into after the COVID year with McGovern, it was that a lot of, you know, we helped out on the back end. And then with Coach D. Lynn coming in, we based the defense around, you know, the D linemen, like the four outside linebackers playing D line, basically, you know what I mean? Stop the run and stuff. Like, that's you know, a lot of people can't do that, or a lot of defenses can't have four outside linebackers out there playing three techs and two eyes and four eyes and wide nines and stuff like that, and everybody doing the same thing. But I could say it progressed through the off season for real. Like, this past year with Liatu and the Twins and the whole D line, like, I'd say we were literally like, we took 10 minutes out of our day every day during the off season just to do something small. And we wrote our goals up on the board before the season started. We wrote our goals up on the board. Didn't even have to look back at the goals and be like, remember what we wrote? Like, towards the end of the season, we looked up and we like the top defense in the nation, top pressures in the nation. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we didn't have to remind each other of that. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have to hold each other accountable, only because we wanted that for ourselves. We wanted that for our group. We was playing as a brotherhood for real. And I feel like that was a big change.
It was interesting because I remember at the beginning of the season, and it feels like it was so long ago, when Lynn first comes in, and we would ask you guys during media availability, like, oh, what's different about Lynn? What's different about this defense? And you guys are like, ah, nothing. It's going to be the same old thing. And y'all just went on this tear and just were wrecking havoc all year. What was that like working with De'Anton Lynn and the defense that he was able to put together for you guys?
I feel like he honestly let the ball players ball for real. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have rushers getting to the quarterback and moving the quarterback off the spot. The quarterback can't throw a good pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, the quarterback is off rhythm, off timing, off the route timing. So then the back end, the coverage, they didn't have to be in coverage that long because it was either back on the way or the running back was, or the quarterback was scrambling. And so, like, if you look at that, like, that played a lot into, you know, our defense. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, stopped a couple people during a run. We told each other, you know, if we could stop them from running on second down and make it second and long, then we're going to win the down. You know what I'm saying? And we were really consistent on that, going to the next play. You know, if it was a big play, we got another set of downs to, you know, stop them again. You know what I'm saying? So that was really what we were trying to do.
I mean, speaking of that,
That definitely showed, because I mean, the front seven, you guys were definitely, I mean, I think the strength of the team in general, and that's one thing that I was trying to explain to everybody. It's hard with colleges, you don't get everybody to peak at the right time or at the same time. I mean, Carl could attest to, if we had Carl how he is now versus when he was as a freshman, you know what I'm saying? Where you get all that experience and all that. And we always said together, like, dang, if we would have, you know, been at our best, what we could have helped the older guys do. And then vice versa, when we see these younger guys, like, dang, if we could have got Dorian and Carl and all them at their best when we were older, it's like, man, we could have been one of the top teams in the country. And that's one of the most frustrating things about college and, like, the development of it all. And everybody tries to blame coaches, but it's like everybody's on different levels and different paths, and not everybody's on, you know, going to be their best at that year. And it's really a process.
No, I definitely, like, I say when, you know, when they moved me into the inside back room because Tyree ended up breaking his foot, I was like, shit, all right, I'll do it for the team. I didn't know I was going to play. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know. Right away, first game, Cincinnati, I'm like, oh, Az told me to go in? All right, you know what I'm saying? But, like, I feel like the development of it all, like, being around older guys and, like, you know, around you guys, like, you know, y'all helped me feel comfortable towards the, like, just going into the season. Like, all right, like, you playing, bro, so lock in, bro. You ain't no little kid. You can't be doing all this dumb shit, like, really, my bad for my profanity.
No,
like,
you're really good, you're good.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, Chris was on me. He was like, you know, bro, you playing, bro. You from Bakersfield, bro. Like, come on.
A rare breed.
Rare breed. Like, and so, like, you know, I took that, and I was like, all right, it's time to, like, grow up. You know what I'm saying? So the development of it all, like, a lot of people, like, once again, a lot of people ain't there yet to play at that. Yeah.
And at that time, we're coming off of, you know, coaching change. And, I mean, like I said, so many people were leaving the program or coming in and out. And, yeah, it was next man up. I mean, with injuries and all that thing. I mean, because I had just moved from inside to outside because we didn't have no outside backers. So then – and then, of course, once I moved, then people get hurt inside, and then we didn't have no inside. But, like, that's how the year was going the past 2 years of my time at UCLA. It was like – so many people are getting hurt that we just needed, like, guys to step up and play. And I think, you know, one thing for you, because you – well, you came in as a DB, and then you go inside linebacker, and then you go, what, outside linebacker, and you're playing, like, almost D-line. Like, you played literally top to bottom, everything in defense, and I think it's going to suit you. But how have you felt along that process and, like, yeah, in your journey at UCLA in that time?
Honestly – I wouldn't change it, honestly. Like, I feel like, you know, I always back in my head, I'm like, I'm a safety. You know, I didn't stop saying that till like I didn't stop saying that till like probably last year when I was like, all right, I'm not moving back. You know what I'm saying? Like, just where I'm at. And so, like, but, like, yeah, like, throughout the years, it was crazy. It was like a lot of development. I got to learn a lot from Coach Pelham, and then switching to a different position with Coach Kafusi, and then, you know, then I was with Coach Cody playing striker, and then I moved back to outside linebacker because we had two young guys playing outside linebacker, the Bruin spot. And then it was just like a lot of growth and learning the positions and learning the plays. But, you know, learning concepts helped me with learning the plays and what I had to do. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like the IQ of the game and being around, like, different coaches, like, I got to grasp how they process plays and how they process the down and distances and what we needed. So, like, I feel like the IQ of the game, like, it grew and it slowed down, like, probably towards, like, my sophomore year, junior year, like, because, like, I knew what the back end was doing because I'm on the line. I knew I got help right here because, you know, the inside backer got a feel, like, stuff like that. And it just, like, definitely slowed the game down. But switching positions, it was like, you know, really mentally tough for real. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, they put this weight on the list, on the roster, saying I'm 230. I'm not 230, bro. Like, and you can see that I'm not 230. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I never say that. Like, I'm serious.
So what were you?
Bro, I was playing D line at 215.
Wow.
Like, the heaviest I got was 220. You know what I'm saying? But, like, Like,
you got to do what you got
to
do.
You feel me? I have to look the part. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember Chris Barnes was like, bro. Nah, Coach Pelham, actually. I was in the weight room when he was there. I was in the weight room lifting like some 35, just doing curls. He was like, looked at me. I looked at him. He was like, bro, you got to get bigger. You don't look the part. And I was like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, that took, you know. So I was like, all right, bro. Then I was moving positions, like 215. I don't look like I'm 230. I'm not supposed to be at this position, but I'm finna make it shake, bro, because I want to be on the field. And like, that was one of the things that was like always in my head. Like, I didn't come all the way out here not to play. Even if they moved me around, I'm finna find a way to be on the field. And so, like, that was like what was in my mindset. And that would like change like my progression to like, all right, if I move positions, it's all right. I'm gonna learn it and then I'll beat the next guy and stay on the field. You know what I'm saying? And so, it was a long journey, you know what I'm saying? But I'm grateful for it. I have so many tools in my box, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going back to play inside backer. I've been training with Coach Lowe out here. And you feel me? I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life right now, you know, just relearning everything and just, you know, actually honing in on one position. But, you know, everything that you learn don't ever go away, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I'm gonna think all that's gonna benefit you going forward, because like now it's not a defense you're not gonna be able to know. I mean, having three different DCs and all these defenses, and also like you're saying, like you can play all these different positions, which is only gonna help you, because like if somebody goes down to the next level, and like who can do that? Carl can do that because he's had experience, and they'll know all those things. They've seen all the tape. They know that, you know. Oh, you know, Carl can. He actually knows how to rush. If we needed him to put a rush, maybe we have a package for him to do that, or you know. Inside lineman, he could do that. He can cover. He has a DB background, really. You know, all those things, I think it's only going to benefit you.
Yeah.
So going back to your weight real quick, I'm curious. I remember we would talk to some of the linemen, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're eating like crazy. We're trying to bulk up. I remember some of the other guys, they were trying to drop some weight. Where were you at with the nutrition? Because I hear a lot of good things about the nutrition. They got some good food in there for you guys. Yeah. They got the smoothies from Belton. So where were you at? What was the plan for you? Were you eating a lot? Were you eating healthy?
Yeah.
What was the deal?
So the food there was like a buffet, you know what I'm saying? But like it was healthy food, you know. They tell you to put all your proteins, put all your carbs, put your veggies on there, you know, portioned out, right? So like I'm eating all the food, but like when I'm out in practice, I'm practicing like it's a game. So I'm losing a lot of water weight. I'm losing weight, you know, after practice. So now after practice, I'm going through a hydration phase and just recovering, drinking my Pedialyte, drinking my drip drop, drinking my gallon of water, you know what I'm saying? So I get it back the next day. But it was like throughout a whole year of doing that, like a whole football season, like, you know what I'm saying? So like, it was just that, you know, but definitely trying to gain weight was pretty hard during season. Like off season, like right now, me gaining weight right now is easy because I'm not taxing my body as much, you know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna get at a nice weight, stay at that weight, and just, you know, keep it together till I get my shot, you know, my opportunity.
I feel that. So one thing, I was reading your bio there on the UCLA website, and one of the things I read that caught my eye was you're the first male in your family to go to college.
Yeah,
is that true?
Yeah, it's very true. I'm a first gen. My sister. So I'm the oldest boy out of I'm the oldest boy out of 28 grandkids. So my grandmother, my grandfather's, they had four girls. So when my mom had me, I was the first boy. So I was the first boy. My mom was a waitress, and she was at Denny's at the time, and, you know, a lot of people would come in to eat and stuff like that, and a coach, like, you know, you got any sons? Yada, yada, I'm starting up this football team. So I ended up going out, joining. I was terrible, but I found a love for the game, you know what I'm saying? So started playing, and I just played ever since, and then I started getting my brothers into football, my god brothers. But yeah, I'm the first generation to, you know, go to college. My sister, she went and played basketball at COS, College of Sequoia.
but she didn't finish. But, you know, she got her degree and everything. But, yeah, I was the first one to go to a four-year university and graduate. So,
yeah. Awesome, man. Congrats. And it's UCLA. I mean, I hear all the time, number one public university, and it's hard to get into. So
in the country.
In the country. Yeah. So congrats on that. I wanted to make sure I got that in there for you because that's definitely a big deal. I want to go back to real quick on D-Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
Going to USC. I you may have been one of them, but I saw a lot of mind-blown emojis out when the announcement was made. Where were you? How did you find out? And what was kind of just going through your head during all that? Obviously, you were done. You were going to be finishing with the program. But just your thoughts on all that.
I mean, so, you know, he came in like in a short amount of time and turned the defense like completely around, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He had all the pieces to do it, you know, and with pieces, you know, if you have a good, you know, person to move him around and know what to do with the defense, like, and that's what he was. So like when finding out he was, you know, leaving to SC across town right after we beat him, it was kind of shocking. It was shocking for sure. But, like, I understood, you know what I'm saying? Like, he has a wife and a kid, newborn.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was just a family business decision, you know? And, you know, yeah, I could never, you know, call anybody that, you know, looking out for their family and everything like that. But, like, yeah, it was definitely crushing because I was feeling like, you know, next year they could have had it again. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were short some games. We were short some games, but I feel like if they had another year with D-Lynn, they could have got it again. But Malloy got him. Malloy got him for sure. So,
yeah, tell me about Malloy. Obviously, he's the defensive coordinator. You probably worked pretty closely with him since his arrival there. I guess you were with him for 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. Tell me what kind of guy he is, what we can expect from him as a leader for that defense going forward.
Man, Malloy is a fantastic coach. Even better, like, family member. Like, he made us feel like family. Like, we went over his house so many times just to eat and, like, just chop it up. And, you know, he's always there for you whenever you need him. Like, honestly, it was never any, like, dull moments in his room. Like, he kept it fun, like, actually, like, willingly to want to learn from him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was never a day we walking into, like, because, you know, spring ball is long. Fall camp is long. You're in meetings all day. People were happy to go to meetings with Malloy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was never a long meeting. Like, it was just fun. It went by fast. You know what I'm saying? As far as the defense, they finna get an energetic coach. Like, he gonna be probably running on the field if some crazy shit happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody makes some plays, he gonna be out. He gonna probably be the first one jumping on the field to celebrate with you. Yeah, like, I feel like they got a good DC in their hands because, you know, every position coach want to become a DC and every DC and OC want to become a head coach. And he's just on his steps to, you know, to make that. And I feel like he's going to be a wonderful DC. I could tell you when the Boise State game, when we were down going into halftime, you know, came in, huddled up. Yep. Nobody was, like, really worried, you know what I'm saying, because we knew what we had to do. But, you know, he came in there calm. Told us what we needed to do, then turned up on us real quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, speaking a little pigeon, you know, you know, he's from the island, so, you know, it came out of him. But, like it got us going, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that, like, we needed a coach to get us going, but, like,
right,
we probably didn't even need him to do that, but he did it anyway. And then we just came back during the halftime and got back, started winning, you know what I'm saying? So, he's going to be a good take for UCLA. I'm glad he didn't leave because Crosstown was trying to pick him up too. But
that's what I heard. That was the word. Yeah, that was the word. Go ahead, Josh.
I mean, go back a little further. What made you choose UCLA?
So I was initially committed to the Colorado with the McIntyres when Coach McIntyre was the head coach. But so they, you know, they started off strong, winning their first five games, and then they lost their five league games.
I remember that.
Coach McIntyre ended up leaving, and so I opened up my, opened up my stuff again, And I had to do a pros and cons and actually just decided to, you know, stay closer to home. So it was between UCLA and Cal because at the end of the day, I wanted a nice degree that would hold weight. And so I always wanted to be an electrical engineer. I always wanted to, you know, bring generational wealth. And I know with either one of those, you know, degrees, like it would be a lot easier, not harder for me. But UCLA, I went on campus during, it was during finals week. So like, it really wasn't nothing to do. You know what
I don't
I'm
know
saying?
Why they like, do officials on that week.
It wasn't really nothing to do, but like, honestly, I went, walked around campus and like, I just told myself I could see myself, you know, falling in love with this place. You know, it was a lot of things to do in LA. The coaches at the time was amazing. The people there, Kenny Churchwell was my host. So like, mm-hmm. you know, Kenny, you know, kept it real with me, you know, and like was telling me everything that I wanted to know, everything that I asked, he told me. But it just felt, honestly, when I came in, it felt like home. And so, you know, I stayed and I never left.
Damn. So Kenny was your guy who took you around and then y'all finished the same year. That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because that was the year he was coming off the knee, though.
Yeah, that was the year he was coming off ACL. Yeah.
Kenny tore his knee, like I said, a possession before me at practice. We both tore our knee the same day.
Same day.
That's crazy.
And so him hosting, Kenny probably didn't even know all the coaches' names at that point.
I was going to say, he's probably fairly new at the time too, right?
That was when Kenny was really still learning too. So it's crazy that they had him host.
Yeah. But see, yeah, they had my boy host and shoot. You know, it was
got
cool.
The job done.
It was cool, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't, like I said, I'm glad I picked UCLA. I met so many amazing people. You know, mm-hmm. the relationships that I got at UCLA is just ridiculous. Like, the donors, cool with all the donors, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely a lot of opportunity out here, but you just got to make the most of it.
Speaking of donors.
Go ahead.
How was NIL? How was that going from not having it to having it? I missed it. And I want to know what it's like.
I feel like... So, like, you know, UCLA is getting better at it, you know what I'm saying? But, like, all right, I'll say, like, one of them. We did a camp with pro camps. Uh-huh. All the scholarship guys, we was there at, like, you know, 7 in the morning. Okay. Mm-hmm. We ended up getting, like, 6 bands just for 1 hour.
Each?
I don't know if I'm not supposed to be telling people, but, yeah, for 1 hour, we did a camp with some kids, you know, like, it wasn't
that
even a lot
crazy.
Of kids. It wasn't even a lot of kids.
But when I was running camps, I would run it. I'd run it all day, and I'd get probably like $300 for the whole day. And that was like
enough
right,
to get some in and out.
I'm gonna shoot out Ethan because Ethan owed me $100. I ain't even trying to, you know, say nothing out on you know. But yeah, I didn't did a camp, and it just take a long time for the bread to get here. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, as long as it arrives.
It feel good when it gets there, though, right?
Yeah, but yeah, I'm still waiting. It's been a long time, couple months. Hope they didn't forget because I sure didn't. But
I were you, I'd be trying to do camps every week.
Crazy. Nah, yeah. Honestly, but yeah, so that was one of them. But, you know, they're getting it together. We got the Westwood Collective, and it was so I was in with this Bruin Fan Alliance, also BFA, and they did a good job of, you know, paying every month. But it was a big team. So, like, a lot of football guys. They had some basketball guys. Basketball team is a lot smaller, so they get a lot more. You know what I'm saying? With a 120 roster, it's kind of hard to disperse bread to, you know, a lot of the guys. But, you know, hopefully it gets a lot better. I know it's getting better, but... Yeah, if I was there one more year, I know I'd have been, you know, top shotter. But it's all good.
for those like collection stuff, who's in charge of like running it?
So it's most likely someone that, you know, comes up with, oh, I want to start this collective for, you know, you know, the UCLA football team or something like that. So then they have a lot of people that does, like, that knows a lot of people, basically, that has, like, work to do, things to, you know, give out, go to dinners, lunch with other people. But who runs it, I'm not too sure. But I know once, you know, once they say it's a collective out, we end up, you know, meeting them and everything like that. But I'm not sure who's, like, the top person of it all.
Secretly, Chase Griffin is behind the scenes probably running everything.
Hey, that man was on, what, Capitol Hill last week or something?
Bro, Chase for president. Griffin goes around the world. That's President Griffin right there, bro.
So I, every time I'm at practice, I'm like, is this man even here? Like, he's there.
No.
I'm like, when is he ever at practice?
No, Chase.
He's always there though. He shows up. That's the thing. He was
still at workouts. I was so confused. I was seeing everything he's doing, all these places he's been. I seen that he was in Europe. I seen that he was at Capitol Hill doing all that. Man was still at Monday workouts.
He was in Japan. I seen bro in Japan looking at the sewer. You know how Japan sewers is so clean. They got koi fish in there. He was recording the koi fish in the sewer. I'm like, bruh, that's crazy.
Living life.
But man, yeah, no. Chase Griffin got the game plan for NIL, but you know he's passionate about it. So that's like, and once again, no one's gonna give you out bread just to give you out bread. You know, you got to be a person of the people. You know, you got to have a great personality. You got to be a great human being. And you know, he has a foundation. You know, he has a blueprint. He has blueprints for a lot of things that he wants to do, and he goes out and does it. He does his research. So, like, you know, I never, you know, was upset or, you know, like, shit. I was asking him questions, like, how I do this.
As you should, yeah.
You know, and so that's honestly what it was. And, shoot, so my player's card that I had with him, I was able to give money to his foundation. The people that was making my cards, they doubled it. So, you know, I was just finding ways to, you know, help. And it was pretty cool.
I know you said you wouldn't change anything, but would NIL factor into your decision if you were to do it again?
Yes, for sure. For sure. I ain't gonna, everybody, bro, we got 8th years. 7th year,
yep.
ninth year
at Miami.
Yeah. Like
same age as me.
A grown man.
Bro, same age as me playing in college. It's crazy. I'm going to my 4th pro year.
You know what I'm saying? And like a lot of people are transferring just to get bread. Go to one school, transfer just to get bread. And at the end of the day, you there to play football, bro. Like I don't like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I came back for another year for my team and my development. You know what I'm saying? Like, to get another year, a good film, on film, basically. So, like, my whole goal, which had never changed, was, you know, chase my dreams. First, make it to college. All right, did that. Now what you going to do next? I want to make it to the NFL. So, all right, so now what you going to do next? And so now I'm in the process of that. And I feel like a lot of people, you know, of course, you know, make money off your image, you know. I feel like we should have been made bread off our image. All the people that go to the Rose Bowl, you know what I'm saying? And we don't touch nothing. We don't touch nothing. Yeah. We don't get no type of kickback, but a nice dinner the next day. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like, you know, I'm glad that it's happening. I feel like a lot of people should just, like, really understand that, you know, you're playing football to play football to, you know, help your family. And you definitely can help your family with NIL. But don't lose track of why you playing football. Don't lose track of why you was doing it in the first place.
No doubt about it. Just a few quick questions before we let you go. Only a couple more minutes here. Real quick, obviously, you played with Latu. You played with the Murphy Twins. Tell me a little bit about Latu, and then tell me a little bit about the Murphy Twins.
Man, Latu is like this enormous – enormous, like, big teenager, you know what I'm saying? Like, his spirit is just, like, so energetic. Like, it's just straight love, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the years he came in and Grayson and Gabriel, you know, it was like a real-life brotherhood for real. And, like, always able and always open to talk to young guys, you know, very talkative, you know, but then they were also quiet when it was ready to work, you know what I'm saying? The years playing with them, though, like, you know, it was crazy to see from the first year till this past year just, like, how crazy the development was. Not saying that they wasn't already developed, but, like, it went up even more, you know what I'm saying? And being able to play on the NASCAR team with him, that was the package that I was on. So when it was me, Laiatu, and the two twins, it was called the NASCAR package. So the four rushers basically. But this year my role was to, you know, cover them, which, you know, I took my role and I understood it, you know what I'm saying? And now look at him. And I'm happy to see that, you know. It was like, you know, take your role and run with it. And Laiatu, I feel like he's finna be top five in the draft. Grayson and Gabriel, they're definitely getting took, you know what I'm saying? It was an honor to be on the field with them and, you know, cherishing every moment with them. And I wish them the best for real. And I know I'm going to see them there too.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just great. It was honestly, it was a fun time. I wouldn't want to change it for the world. Like, honestly.
Was there ever competition on, or like, I wouldn't say arguments, but on who would get the certain stunt or get the certain, like on this third down, I'm rushing off the right side. I want to run. I want somebody to give me a pick, or I'm going to, you know, get an inside rush move.
It was so once again, our defense was based around us. Like, if we can get to the quarterback, we could run any coverage in the back end. You know what I'm saying? So they could throw any move anytime they wanted to. Like, they could go inside. So the two twins, they could go inside or outside on the guard. Or they can cross chop and go all the way around the tackle if they actually wanted to. And I was going to cover them. Laiatu, he going to beat you to the edge and bend so fucking well to get to the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was ridiculous. And hell yeah, it was, I wouldn't say it was a competition, but I see the twins, you know, talking like after the play, you know what I'm saying? Like,
bro, all the time,
inside, bro, I was going inside, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. And it was funny. It was honestly funny to see them the two twins argue, but like, they knew it was straight off love. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, I ain't never been around twins before, and they literally chew each other out, but love each other up, like, within the next 30 seconds. It's crazy.
Yep. As a twin, yes, that's totally how it is. We'll be fighting, and then, like, 30 seconds later, best friend in the world.
Bro, it was crazy.
Josh, as we get Carl out of here, do you want to ask him the question that we ask everybody on the podcast?
Oh, so we have notorious questions that we ask all the foreign players on here. Since we're already talking about teammates, stuff like that, let's start with who do you think is like the best player or athlete that you've, one, played with, and two, that you've played against? So, like, I always say, like, with me, I played with Miles Jack, and he was like the freakiest athlete I've played with. And then I played against Christian McCaffrey, and that's one of the best athletes and best players I've had to go against. Who do you think that is for you?
Shoot. My freshman year when freaking Oklahoma came out, Jalen Hurts had me in like a little cycle for real. I ain't gonna cap, had me touch the earth.
That was a sad game.
You feel me? It was terrible. And so I say Jalen
Hurts. That was as a freshman, right?
Yeah, but still.
So that was your welcome. That was your no, but that was your welcome to college football moment right there.
In the Rose Bowl at home.
In the Rose Bowl at home, Jalen Hurts made me touch the earth. You know.
I think it was on the first play. He ran for like 60.
Quarterback keep, or he dropped back and took off something.
He could have threw to CeeDee Lamb, but he didn't.
You know what I'm saying? That's crazy because we was playing against CeeDee Lamb. That's I didn't even think about all that. And then to play with my 4 years playing with Dorian was just crazy.
Yeah.
like all the stuff that, you know, he was always trying to hurdle somebody, and then to see the past 2 years, he actually, you know, landed it every single time he attempted it. It was ridiculous. And then, you know, out at practice, you know, the stuff he would do. And then if not Dorian, I'd say Liatu, because I had, you know, worked out with him multiple times, you know, during the offseason, and just to see a 270, 260 guy bend and get low and turn his hips the way he turned his hips, like it was ridiculous. It was crazy, unnatural.
And two dogs.
Yeah. And the other question that we always ask is, who are the top five funniest guys in the locker room during your time at UCLA?
Gary Smith.
Okay.
Yeah, when Gary came in from Duke, he had, like, everybody would go to Gary just to laugh. Money Mart. Martin
Andrews.
Martin, there it is. Everybody always says Martin.
Bro, he got to be top five.
Bro, yeah, Martin's top five, you know what I'm saying? Who else? Undercover Alex Johnson is pretty funny.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see that. Alex is
like you actually funny. Talk to Alex Johnson. Alex Johnson, pretty funny.
He's a silly guy.
Jay Toyaloa.
Okay.
I've heard he's pretty funny.
He bro, that's why our D line room was just hilarious, bro. Like it was just funny the whole time.
I don't think there's any D line room that's not funny.
You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. Who else? Remember Steven Mason?
Yeah, bro, I just seen him the other day.
I put Steven Mason crazy. On there. Even though me and him got into a little Russell my freshman year, but he was still funny. Uh-oh.
That's crazy. That's your number five. But yeah. You definitely have some. I could agree
that's
with that.
That's a good five.
That's a good five.
That's a good five. All right, man. First of all, thank you so much for being here and joining us. Hopefully we can get you back on the podcast soon. But we want to wish you the best of luck with everything going forward. And for me personally, as someone who's covered you pretty much since day one, because I started covering the team in 2019 as well, I just want to say thank you and for just being available when it came to talking to the media and always being good with us. I appreciate that. And best of luck to you, man.
I appreciate that. Nah, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure, you know, getting to know you and meeting you throughout the, you know, the 4 to 5 years I've been here. And Josh, bro, I really appreciate you, you know, through my freshman year, you know what I'm saying? And then just holding the torch, you know, and then keeping it going and, you know, trying to make UCLA better than how y'all left it. You know what I'm saying?
That's still the goal. That's still the goal. But I mean, I want to give you your roses, man. I'm just so proud of you, just seeing your growth and transformation from the beginning till now, and just so excited for your future and, you know, what's to come.
Appreciate that.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And again, best of luck. This is the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast presented by Bet Online.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.